Ang Dubai ay known sa buong mundo as having impressive architectural structure. Early this morning, I was having a chat with members and started asking them kung ano ang kanilang mga favorite buildings dito po sa Dubai. Some said, yung bagong favorite, probably, yung Museum of the Future. Ngayon ka lang nakakita ng ganong klaseng ka-unique na structure. Meron naman nagsabi is yung Infinity Tower or yung tinatawag na Kayan Tower na matatagpuan po sa Dubai Marina na may 90 degrees twist yung building. Kung hindi po yung panakikita yun, kamangha-mangha po ang itsura. Of course, we also know yung malaking sailboat na the only 7-star hotel na Burj Al Arab na matatagpuan po doon, banda malapit sa Jumeirah Beach. And yung bago sa added collection din nila kamakailan just a few years is yung Dubai Frame. Hindi nyo ba alam, yung bago mabuo yung Dubai Frame na yan, marami ho nagtataka kung ano ba talaga yung structure na yun. Some said siguro yan yung malaking National Geographic na building. Pero hindi. Mukha man, pero hindi. And of course, andyan po yung ating favorite, ang madalas puntahan ng mga turista ay yung Burj Khalifa, which is the tallest building in the world sa ngayon. So, kasi I heard na there are some groups who are trying to build a tower na mas mataas po dyan at taga-Dubai din po sila. Okay? Tatalonin din nila ang pinakamataas nilang building. So, tunay nga na impressive at kamangha-mangha ang architectural structures ng Dubai. Of course, kung pupunta ka lang patawid papuntang Abu Dhabi, nandun din po yung gusto kong coin building, yung malaking barya po doon na nasa highway. No? Not only does it represent modern or even futuristic architecture, yung mga structures dito, it also presents something deeper. It represents status. It represents prestige. It represents kayamanan. It represents kapangyarihan, kaginhawaan, at seguridad. Yung mga structures na yan represents all of these things. Mga kaibigan, impressed ka ba sa modern architecture ng Dubai? Impressed ka ba in what it represents? Di kaya ka nandito sa Dubai ay upang makamtan ang mga ito? Kayamanan, prestige, status, kapangyarihan, kaginhawaan, seguridad? Ito marahil ang iyong hangarin, layunin, motivation, priority at pinahahalagahan. Ngunit, eto nga ba ang dapat prioridad at tanging pinahahalagahan sa ating buhay dito sa Dubai? Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating 6-year-old sermon series sa The Gospel According to John. Nagsimula po tayo sa series na ito noong 2018. Noong nagsimula po. So what we do is hindi ho natin usually binibigyan ng isang bagsak yung sermon series. May mga shorter books that we do that in 4 or 8 weeks. But for some reasons na hindi ko na ho matandaan, I have chosen to divide this into a few chapters. We went slower sa Book of Mark. And I think in hopes ko, within 2 years matapos na, because we want to go slow and detailed. Pero ngayon, well, 6 years. And it's a joyful journey. And I hope you have found fruit and joy in learning and applying yung mga natutunan natin dito. Here's the hope. Ang hope po this month, to end this book. So, mapapansin nyo po, malalaki ang chunks natin. So, if you, we usually go in sa exposition, may tinatawag na zoom in and zoom out lens. So, sa exposition, pwede ka mag-zoom in with all the verse by verse. Meron din zoom out. Or some of them are overview. Some of them is bigger chunks ang inaaral, and such is yung case po ng pagkaka-structure ng sermon series na ito at ng mga books na ito. Now, to give us context sa passage ng Mark, we left Jesus sa unang araw ng Passion Week. Okay, sa anong nakaraan na series. Ito ang last week ni Jesus bago siya ipako sa krus. Nung Monday, pumunta si Jesus sa Jerusalem para sa triumphal entry. Ang mga tao ay sumisigaw, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," at may mga palaspas. Nung Tuesday, sinumpa niya ang fig tree at pumunta sa temple and drove away the people na nagbebenta po doon. At maraming hindi natuwa sa ginawa ni Jesus, including yung mga religious leaders. Kaya sa chapters 11 to 12, nagkaroon ng maanghang na confrontation directly toward Jesus galing sa mga religious leaders. Mapapansin natin na dumadami rin yung mga haters ni Jesus dahil nangyari yon, and even plan to arrest and even kill him. Now sa chapter 13 in our passage, nagbigay ng mahabang discourse si Jesus. And ang mga disciples niya ay pilit iniintindi ang kahulugan nito. Okay? The disciples asked Jesus, "What's going on?" sa mga nakwento mong ito. Jesus answers his disciples in the Olivet Discourse in the Mount of Olives. Medyo mahaba itong passage na ito, and I'm thankful with all joy and enthusiasm. Binasa natin ang sagutan, ang passage na ito, and I'm thankful for Rochelle Lasiste for leading us sa pagbabasa na ito. It will serve the church well if kung siguro gagawin ko na lang is hindi ko siya babasahin ulit lahat, and we would go directly sa ating pag-aaral. And at sa isa sa mga prof, marami hong, itong book na ito, Mark chapter 13, or at least itong chapter, ay isang halimbawa ng biblical prophecy. No? It is where God tells us about what is to happen in the future. At isa sa mga prophecies na inaabangan natin ay ang pagbalik mismo ng Panginoong Hesukristo, which is nabanggit din po dito. So here's your main idea ng ating passage this morning. Be on guard, for Jesus is coming soon. Be on guard, for Jesus is coming soon. Passage is divided into two points. Number one, be on guard. Verses 1 hanggang 23. And number two, Jesus is coming soon. Verses 24 to 37. I was thinking na maging isang overarching point na ito, but I can't resist myself. Siguro kailangan ko hatiin siya. Just to be more specific. Number one, be on guard. Tingnan niyo mo yung verses 1 to 2, and I will be referencing yung English Standard Version sa mga pagbigay ko ng comments dito. Ang Galilean na disciple ni Jesus na bihira makarating ng mga makakita ng mga malalaking structure ay namangha nung nakita nila yung temple. Okay, namangha siya. Kaya pinuri niya ito kay Jesus kasi doon sa Galilee, mostly mga tao ron ay mangingisda, karpintero, kumbaga may pagka-probinsya yung location na yun, countryside. Pagpunta po nila mismo sa Jerusalem, ba namangha sila sa structure nung nakita na lalo yung temple. Kapansin-pansin naman kasi talaga ang temple. Kasi it's massive, malaki. I heard na kasya daw ang 12 football field sa loob ng temple precinct. Gawa ito sa mga malalaking puting bato at decorated na mga ginto. Kapag tinatamaan daw ng araw yung mismong structure, para siyang umiilaw at nakakasilaw daw tumingin. Tignan dahil tumatalbog yung ilaw. Pinaniniwalaan ng mga Jews na ito daw ang santuario ng Diyos and is indestructible. Ito ay naging heart or center ng Jewish religion at identity. Pero kung naalala natin ang chapter 11, Jesus calls ito as a den of thieves. Kaya he symbolically at violently cleansed it. Sabi niya sa verse 1 ng ating passage ngayon sa chapter 13, "As he came out of the temple." Ito po yung huling pagkakataon na pumunta si Jesus sa temple at hindi na siya bumalik. Symbolically, as Jesus departed the temple, the glory of the Lord departed, leaving the temple forever. Kaya nung binati ito ng isa sa mga disciples na magandang temple, Jesus was not impressed sa architectural structure nito, nor what it represents ng time na yon. Instead, he predicted its destruction. You can read that in verses 3 hanggang 19. Ang sagot ni Jesus sa kanyang disciple sparked curiosity sa mga disciples, at ang inner circle that represents the whole 12 lumapit sa kanya at tinanong. And you see that in verses 3 to 4. Basically, dalawa po ang kanilang tanong. Una, kailan magaganap yung sinasabi ninyong destruction? At pangalawa, ano ang sign na magaganap itong destruction na ito? Ang nasa isipan ng mga disciples nung tinanong nila ito ay ina-associate nila yung destruction ng temple sa end of age. Okay? Hindi nila alam na may malaking gap po sa gitna between yung destruction ng temple, pero ito'y nakabound sa very end ng age. Connected po itong dalawang ito. Now, kailangan po natin maunawaan na may dalawang klaseng prophecy na nababanggit po sa passage natin. Again, probably nung kayo po ay nasa community groups nyo, you have discovered na maraming mga sound theologians that we respect, na kung saan may iba-ibang view po patungkol po dito, and that's okay. And true to it, as long as we are faithful to Scripture, and as long as na kung saan hindi heresy yung ating paniniwala about the end times or eschatology or study of the last days or end times, we can be in one fellowship together. Okay? So hindi siya grounds para tayo magkaroon ng separation o pag-aaway. Just a reminder lang sa atin. Now, babanggitin ni Jesus sa passage natin is may dalawang klaseng event. Una, the near future event. Pag sinabing near future, near sa time niya nung binibigay niya itong prophecy na ito. O the end, na kung saan the destruction ng temple nung AD 70. Now, meron din tinatawag na far future event or far future na destruction, which is the end of age. The coming of the Son of Man in clouds with power and glory. So makikita nyo dyan sa parts na yan, sa buong passage na ito, makikita nyo po yung mga prediction or prophecy niya about these two. Now, connected po ang dalawang prophecies at destructions na ito. Ang near arriving na destruction ng temple at Jerusalem ay isang foreshadowing ng distant destruction ng present evil age sa second coming ni Christ. Okay, it's a foreshadow, it's a pointer of things to come. Pag-usapan muna natin ang near future destruction or yung tinatawag na historical destruction ng temple at Jerusalem noong AD 70. Sinimula ni Jesus ang kanilang conversation with a warning na di lamang applicable sa mga disciples niya noong time na yan, kung hindi pati sa atin ngayon. Sabi niya sa verse 5, "See that no one leads you astray." Or, "Don't be deceived," sabi sa ibang translation. Bakit? Kasi sa verse 6, kung titignan po ninyo, maraming mga false teachers ang lilitaw who will claim na sila ay si Kristo. At maraming malilin lang. Kaya nagbigay ng babala si Jesus sa mga disciples to be on guard. Kasi habang papalapit ang destruction ng temple ng Jerusalem, maraming mga false teachers ang lalabas. Actually, makikita natin yung iba sa Bible na nangyari na. May dalawang insidenteng nabanggit sa Acts chapter 5 nung lumabas si Gamaliel, yung disciple ni Saul or ni Paul later on. So he mentioned two different types of mga leaders na nag-arise na kung saan nagkaroon ng uproar sa Jerusalem. Makikita rin po natin isa sa Acts chapter 8 verse 9 to 11, na may magician na pangalan ay Simon, na kung saan marami rin siyang nilinlang na mga tao at pinaniwalaan at sinundan. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, marami ang mga antichrist na lumitaw that came out from a church, deceiving many. 1 John 2:18 po yun. Now, so verses 7 to 8, nag-mention si Jesus ng wars, earthquakes, and suffering. Nagkaroon ng maraming famines noong panahon na pamumuno ni Emperor Claudius. So nangyari po ito. Devastating earthquakes noong AD 63 ni Pompey. Probably I butchered yung name. Lahat ng mga ito ay natupad in that generation. At ang sabi ni Jesus, these were just the beginning of birth pains. Hindi nabanggit ni Jesus na ito para takutin o magpanik yung mga tao, but lead them to humble, patient, watchful, and faithfulness living in the present. Yun ang reason. So verses 9 to 13, nabanggit din niya that there will be intense persecution sa mga followers ni Jesus Christ. Ipapatawag sila ng mga counselors, emperors, kings to testify about Christ. Kaya questionin ang kanilang pananampalataya. Sa panahong iyon, bago sila patayin, ayon sa verse 11, the Holy Spirit will give them the words to say, giving them supernatural boldness to speak the gospel to all nations. At dahil sa kanilang katapatan, sila ay pinaslang. Lahat ng ito ay nangyayari noong first century. Ito yung sinasabi ni Jesus na near future event. Ito mangyayari sa inyo. Pagkatapos i-execute si Stephen dahil sa kanyang bold witness sa Acts chapter 6, hanggang 7, nagkaroon ng mabigat na persecution sa land. Ang buong church sa Jerusalem ay kumalat. Kasi wanted sila. Sa Acts 8, those who were scattered boldly preached the gospel kung saan man sila mapunta at kung sino man ang kaharap nila. Sa Acts chapter 21, verse 13, sabi ni Paul, I am not only ready to be imprisoned, but to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. At ganun na nga po nangyari. Some believe that when he testified before kings and emperors, he paid the ultimate price. Families were divided. Betrayal among the families ang nangyayari. Brothers betrayed one another. Parents sought to put their children to death because of their faith in Christ. Sinabi ni Jesus na mangyayari ang mga ito sa verse 13. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Lahat ng mga ito ay nangyayari habang papalapit na po ang destruction sa AD 70. Jesus predicted these and mentioned na ito ay simula ng birth pains, as mentioned. Now, pagdating naman sa verse 14, nabanggit niya ang abomination that causes desolation. Now, yung phrase na po na ito ay hindi bago sa Old Testament kasi tatlong beses nabanggit po ito sa Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 11, Daniel chapter 12. Si Daniel ay isang prophet who hundreds of years back had predicted a different siege sa Jerusalem na nangyari noong 167 BC. Ano po nangyari noong 167 BC? The Syrian king Antiochus Epiphanes came to Jerusalem with 250,000 men at ang ginawa nila is they massacred the Jews at dinisrespect or desecrated yung temple ng Panginoon. Paano nila dinisrespect? Well, ang ginawa nila is kumuha sila ng baboy, kinatay po yung baboy sa temple at ang dugo mismo in-spread mismo sa buong temple at nagtayo sila ng temple ni Zeus sa loob mismo ng holy place. And that happened during that time. Tapos Jesus, sa context ng ating passage ngayon, seems to predict another destruction ng Jerusalem. At nangyari ito noong AD 70. Nung dumating ang mga Roman general ng pangalan ay Titus with his armies noong AD 70 and entered the holy city at sa temple, the city was defiled. They sieged the city for 3 years. Sinunog nila ang temple and totally destroyed it. So kung bubisita po kayo ng Jerusalem ngayon, yung temple po doon, hindi nyo makikita. Wala na. Totally destroyed. Totally non-existent. Jesus warns na kapag nangyari na ang abomination of desolation, standing where he ought not to be, na phrase, ito na yung warning niya. Ito na ang time na tumakbo na kayo. Sabi niya sa mga disciples. Tumakbo na kayo, iwan niyo na ang bahay ninyo, ang inyong kagamitan, huwag niyo nang balikan, tumakas na kayo papunta sa bundok. Because it's going to happen. Ayon sa first century historian na si Josephus, ang pangyayari noong 70 AD ay hindi mapapantayan sa mga nangyari noon, noong time nila, at ng pangyayari during their time. It was unequaled. Ika nga, hindi mapapantayan. Marumal-dumal ang pangyayaring yun. Matindi ang brutality at saka famine. It was even reported dahil sa tindi ng taggutom, even mothers ate their own children. It was an unspeakable horror during that time. The killing was so brutal and was so thorough. Now, maaaring tinatanong ninyong umaga na ito, Pastor, that's great. I love history. I enjoy ko yan. Eh, ano ngayon? What does this have to do with us ngayon 2024? I mean, hindi naman natin nakikita gumuguho ang Dubai. In fact, mas dumadami pa yung mga structures. Kailangan natin maunawaan na ang fall ng Jerusalem was just a symbol for what is yet to come. The ultimate judgment of the age is coming. Gaya ng nangyari before, ng event ng AD 70, ay similar na nangyayari din sa panahon natin ngayon. Actually, nung binabasa ko marahil to o inaaral nyo ito sa inyong Bible study group, some of the incidences na nababasa natin nyo marahil, nakaka-relate tayo sa panahon natin ngayon. Ganyan na nga nangyari before ng event ng AD 70, it's similar. Nakakaranas tayo ng international turmoil or conflict, nations rising up against nations, at mga natural disasters. Ang mga pangyayaring ito ay ebidensya na first of all, we live in a fallen world. At magpapatuloy po yan. Jesus is saying, these are just the beginning of birth pains. May mga kapatiran tayo sa ibang bahagi ng mundo, even closer to home, na kung saan were handed over sa gobyerno because of their faith. I hear stories upon stories of brothers and sisters, pastors, na kakilala ko dito who share these stories. Dahil na sila ay sinuko nila ang kanilang lumang pananampalataya at nilagay ang pananampalataya kay Kristo, sila po ay nireject ng buong pamilya. Yung iba nireport sa gobyerno. Yung iba ay tinanggalan ng mana. Yung iba naman sinasabing, hindi namin anak yan. O hindi ko asawa yan. So, it's really closer to home ho para sa atin. Many, many things ang nangyari. Many people are being regularly handed over sa gobyerno, face hostile interrogations, at hanggang ngayon po yan nagpapatuloy. At magpapatuloy po yan until pagdating ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Oppositions against God's people is happening worldwide. Parang yung nangyari ng time na to. Marami po nagagalit sa mga mananampalataya. Maraming mga Christians ang hindi nababalitaan sa news na dumaranas ng persecution or even torture. I know may mga ilan tayo nababalitaan o may nababasa o napapanood na nangyari, pero mas marami po ang hindi natin nalalaman. May mga mananampalataya who are on the run today dahil nireport sila ng kanilang pamilya. At ngayon, hinahunting ng kanilang pamilya at ng gobyerno. Ito po ang nadaranasan ng bride ni Christ throughout her existence ever since Jesus ascended. So brothers and sisters, those of you who are trusting Jesus Christ, you and I will face persecutions and hardships. Ang persecution will be so intense na mga false Christ at false prophets would try to deceive even mga elect or the chosen people of God. But sabi sa verse 22, sa passage natin, if possible, which means it's impossible. The elect, they'll try to deceive, they try to i-recruit sa kanilang pananampalataya, pero sabi sa verse 22, if possible, which means ang editorial niya, ibig sabihin niya is impossible na mangyari yun. Bakit ka mo? Kasi may sinasabi rin ng Old New Testament dito. Sabi sa Jude 24, God is the one who is able to keep His people from stumbling sa mantinding persecution and hardship. John chapter 10, verse 28, no one can snatch them out of God's hand. This is eternal security, friends. Now, once na ikaw ay iniligtas ng Panginoon, by grace, He will continue to persevere you by grace, despite of persecution and hardships. Friends, this is but great comfort sa atin ngayong umaga. If you have trusted Christ for salvation, kahit tayo ay humaharap sa pagsubok, tayo humaharap sa paghihirap, our lives are threatened, may concerning health diagnosis, not even government entities or demonic forces can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Ikaw, ako, kung tunay ang ating conversion ay mananatiling anak ng Diyos. Ang Panginoon ang magsusustain sa atin, mga kaibigan, mga kapatid sa Panginoon. Mga kaibigan, ang paraan ng pamumuhay na gusto ni Jesus sa kanyang mga disciples noon ay parehong pamumuhay na gusto niya sa ating mga mananampalataya ngayon. Does that make sense? Jesus expects them to be ready, to be faithful, to be trusting amidst persecution and hardship. They might be on guard. Ganun din ang expectation sa atin ng Panginoon sa atin ngayon, mga mananampalataya. A few quick application questions sa atin. Mga kaibigan o mga kapatid sa Panginoon, nakakaranas ka ba ng paghihirap para kay Kristo? Nakakaranas ka ba ng paghihirap para kay Kristo? Masasabi mo ba na ang iyong pamumuhay bilang Kristiyano ay komportable, walang problema at masagana? If yun po ang sinasabi natin, may konting concern. Mga kaibigan, ang dahilan ba kung bakit hindi ka nakakaranas ng paghihirap sa pamumuhay bilang Kristiyano ay dahil marahil nananatili kang walang ginagawa para kay Kristo? Hindi ko po sinasabi na dapat lahat ng mga persecutions o paghihirap ay pare-parehas. Hindi dapat pare-parehas ang itsura. Hindi lahat kailangan mag-go through some torturous experience in order to say, I'm suffering for Christ. Hindi po. Pero kadalasan kapag tayo ay hindi nakakaranas ng rejection or persecution o paghihirap dahil sa ating pananampalataya, is dahil nananahimik po tayo. Sabi po sa verse 10, the gospel must be preached to all nations. The gospel must be proclaimed. Mga kaibigan, if you love the people in your office, your campuses, neighborhood, if you love the people in Deira, in Dubai, spend time with them. Go out of your way. Be willing to be inconvenienced. Pray for them. Open your life to them and share the saving truth of the gospel to them. That is why, brothers and sisters, we invite you to join us either on Tuesday or Wednesday as we conduct outreach Bible studies in this part of the city. It is amazing how these people are growing in their understanding of God's Word and the Gospel. And slowly, yung encouragement namin is seeing fruit out of it.
Second question.
Una, let me repeat yung unang tanong, nakakaranas ka ba ng paghihirap para kay Kristo? Kung wala, start asking why. Second, handa ka bang sorry, I can't read my typing. Handa ka bang maghirap para kay Kristo? Sorry, handa ka bang kamunghian? That's the word. Because I'm trying to understand my spelling. Okay. Handa ka bang kamunghian? Alang-alang kay Kristo. Are you willing to be rejected? Hated for Christ's sake? Sabi sa verse 13, men will hate you because of me. Sharing the gospel sa mga tao na hindi kilala si Kristo will make you unpopular. Will make people make fun of you. Will even cause you to be a person na mag-isa ka na lang because of that. Ang problema po sa atin, here's our problem. Madalas po mabigat, we have this heavy desire to be liked. We have this strong craving to be always liked. So work, you'll perform well, you try to laugh a few jokes, kahit hindi nakakatawa, para mapakisama lang, you'll eat with someone, drink with someone, go out with someone. You want to be liked. Pero at what cost? At dahil dito, because you always want to be like, we always want to be like, we dodge every opportunity of proclaiming the gospel to the nations where you're working. Friends, you, if that is you, you are missing out on the joy that God promised those by making disciples of all nations. There is such joy amidst of fear, amidst of rejection, as sinishare mo yung gospel, there is such peace and joy in doing that, in proclaiming the gospel. You are missing out on such blessing kung hindi mo ginagawa ito. But also God using you to advance His kingdom. Mga kaibigan, kung natikman at nararasan natin ang tamis ng pag-ibig ng Diyos, willing ka ba na di lamang ibigin ang mga tao dito sa Dera, but also, if necessary, be hated by the people of Dera because of Christ? Love them. Great. Are you willing to receive their hate because of your faithfulness to Christ? So thus, yung picture ng first part na ito. And number two and last, Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. We see that in verses 24 hanggang 37. Masasabi natin na reliable ang predictions ni Jesus. Mga kaibigan, pakinggan natin ang warning ni Jesus na siya'y babalik na anytime. Malapit na ho bumalik ang Panginoon. Hindi natin alam kung kailan. Now, kung meron kayong mga kakilala ng sinasabi na alam niya kung paano babalik ang Panginoon at kung kailan, tumakbo na ho kayo. Now, kung ako ay minsan pa ay umakyat dito at biglang nag-preach, darating na ang Panginoon at alam ko kung anong oras. Doon tayo sa food court, abangan natin! Lumipat tayo ng church. Either nabaliw na ako o talagang naging heretic na ako. Kasi sabi ho dito, no one knows. No one knows. Walang nakakaalam. Hindi natin alam. Now, bago siya dumating, nabanggit sa passage natin na the man of lawlessness, no? Which is, of course, we know to be the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be revealed bago dumating ang Panginoon at magkakaroon ng rebellion. Mas mai-intensify ang tribulation as described sa Mark chapter 13, sa buong chapter, na magaganap bago siya dumating, bago dumating ang second coming, bago dumating si Christ. Now, hindi natin alam kung sino ang Antichrist. Ngayon, kung nagsimula ulit ako nagturo at nagtututuro kung sino ang Antichrist, questionin na ho kayo. Of course, there are people who are haters of Christ. Some would claim to be Antichrist. Pero the Antichrist, the, yung nababanggit sa Mark 13, we do not know kung sino siya. Alam ko maraming mga predictions, maraming mga nagsasabi na eto yan, dito yan manggagaling. But honestly, tahimik ko ang Bible dyan. So be careful po na maggawin yung doctrine of the Antichrist na etong darating. Kung silent naman po ang Bible, wala tayong warrant dyan. So be careful. Okay? Now, hindi natin alam kung sino ang Antichrist at hindi natin alam kung anong itsura ng rebellion na magaganap. Maring nagaganap na siya ngayon. O maring paganap na. So ang ibig sabihin na ito, parating na si Kristo anytime. He's coming anytime. Ang point po ng end times passage sa scriptures, hindi to unlock ang secret code o mystery when and how things will end. Kasi sikat po na hot button topic po ito eh, among pastors, among theologians, and these are good things to study and know. Okay, pero the point of knowing exact dates, exact person, the exact view is hindi ho yun ang point eh. Okay? Naniniwala ako na ang point kung bakit ito nandito sa Bible ay para pag-aralan natin faithfully at kung papaano tayo mamuhay faithfully. How we can be watchful until He comes, even in the midst of trials, sufferings, as we wait for our blessed hope. This should inform our prayers. This should inform our living. Hindi nadadalin tayo sa limbo, hindi natin alam kung anong tuyo, tapos sa panghihinaan pa tayo ng pananampalataya kung may nagdi-disagree sa atin. Hindi po. Napansin niyo ba na ang repeated words or thoughts dito sa passage, sa buong 37 verses? Ang repeated words or ideas dito sa, makikita niyo, sa verse 5, see that no one leads you astray. So verse 9, be on your guard. So verse 23 and 33, be on your guard. Be on our guard. Be on guard. So verses 35 at 37, stay awake. So ano po ang point? Friends, ang point ng application ng passage, Jesus wants us to be on guard. So how not to be on guard? How not to be on guard? One, here's how not to be on guard. By devoting time watching and listening sa social media sa mga latest end times updates. Okay? Uy, pumutok na ito. Siguro ito na. And then we panic. Second, devoting your time, energy, and money on the pleasures that Dubai can offer. If we are being on guard, we should be careful how we should be living now. So maging careful tayo na the main reason why you are here is to pour your time, energy, and money on the pleasures that Dubai can offer. How not to be on guard? By devoting yourself to overwork. Catching and be motivated by money. Success. Na to a point na ang thoughts mo about eternity is sucked out from your life and thoughts. Kailangan maging mayaman tayo rito. Dito tayo sa Dubai eh. Ito ang paraan para makatawid sa ibang bansa para mas lalo kumita. Now, it's not wrong to think about providing for the family. Pero if ito lang ang main reason why you're here, then that's not how to be on guard. It's not about success. So, Pastor, ang question, how to be on guard?
Well, let me give you three quick applications. Una, discipleship is being on guard. Discipleship. Pour life to one another. If ikaw po ay anak ng Diyos, there is a command. Make disciples of all nations. Or in this group, na maliit na group, the such as Crossroads, be intentional in meeting and discipling one person. O nga, Pastor, tama yan. Sabihan mo nga sila dahil hindi ako ina-approach para sa discipleship. I'm sorry to hear that, kung ganon. Pero have you approached anyone? Huwag na natin intayin po na may lumapit. Let's not wait for someone to approach us. You need people and they need you to pour in each other's lives and to grow in Christ. So be intentional. Maybe right now, papunta po tayo sa food court or before pumunta ng food court, baka meron mga tao na gusto mong yayain just to have a conversation. Pastor, I don't know where to start. Just ask them for eat together ngayon. And let's see where you would go there. Paano yan? How's that? Just meet with them. Could it be random? Pwede. Could it be someone na matagal ko nang gusto? Yes. Just make. And again, pag may lumapit sa inyo, welcome it. Okay? Kasi this is application time. And then pag nagaya silang magkape, or invite kayo sa singles afterwards, please do come. Paunlakan po ninyo yung invitation. How long have you been a member of Crossroads? Would you name at least 3 people you have discipled? Or people you have a discipleship relationship with? Friends, how not to be on guard is if you don't disciple someone or be discipled by someone. Second, fellowship. Discipleship, fellowship. Fellowship with other believers is being on guard. Part na rin ho dito yan is the regular corporate gathering of the church. The preaching of God's word on a Sunday is yung pinaka-feasting ng church as a whole. So do not neglect the gathering. Don't neglect encouraging one another. There is such encouragement of being in a corporate gathering. I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago na yung church daw nila nung bago is ang ginawa nila instead na paharap daw dito, nilagay nila sa gilid, nilagay nila in stage dyan. So in short, pa-wide, no? And then yung arrangement ng ginawa nilang chairs is pa-V. Halos. So the question is, why? Because ang gusto daw nila, when they pray, when they sing, they look at each other. Familiar din sa Bible yan. Sing to one another with psalms, sings, and spiritual songs. So, these are few of the practical ways na ginagawa nila in order to engage one another. But, most importantly, you need the church in order to grow. You need the church to protect you from the wolves that can come along dito sa bansa na ito. If you are here at malayo ka sa pamilya mo sa Pilipinas, you're single, hindi mo kasama ang asawa mo, all the more. You need God's people to protect you, to care for you, to disciple you. So fellowship is important. That's how to be on guard. Let's wait together and be on guard together sa pagdating ng Panginoon. Third, devoting time in prayer is being on guard. Pray for one another. Kanina, earlier in our equipping class, we talked about prayer, and I hope that has been very fruitful and helpful for most of you nandoon. But prayer is a sign of us humbling ourselves before the Lord. Now, we need God. And it's a beautiful thing that we all pray together. That's why we have a prayer service every quarter. So we encourage you to attend yung mga ganong klaseng services so that you would hear God's word prayed, so that you would know yung concerns and challenges in church and pray with us. And at the same time, praise the Lord in prayer sa mga encouragements. That's how we wait. That's how we stay on guard. Hindi po tayo mga parang mag-aabang na pagbalik ng Panginoon, pupunta tayo sa bundok, ibebenta natin lahat ng mga ari-arian natin, lahat tayo nakaabang sa bundok. Which is nangyari na po yun. At maraming beses na rin po pumalpak. So, these are a few of the things that how we can be on guard as we wait on the Lord's return. In short, if you are walking faithfully sa Panginoon, personally, and also corporately, ang point dito is ituloy nyo lang hanggat pagdating ng Panginoon. Friends, we must be on guard, alert, and awake. According to Romans 13:11, our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Malapit na po. It will come like a thief in the night. In short, you will be caught, I will be caught, we will be caught off guard sa pagbalik ng Panginoon. So friends, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So ultimo po, so let's ask this question. Impressed ka ba sa grand architecture ng Dubai? Are you impressed on what it represents? Are you impressed sa status na, sa prestige, sa comfort, sa security neto, sa yaman neto? Friends, isang araw, lahat ng mga nakikita ninyong structures ay magugunaw. At kung dito nakaangkla ang pag-asa, ang pangarap, at layunin kung bakit ka nabubuhay, ang lahat ng mga ito ay magugunaw kasama nun. Meron mas mahalaga po dito sa Dubai kaysa makamtan natin ang mataas na katayuan sa buhay, kayamanan, kaginhawaan at seguridad. Ang importante ay ang tiyak na pagdating ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Yun ang kailangan natin alalahanin. So ang tanong po, handa ka na ba? We're talking about the second coming, which is imminent, inevitable. It can happen anytime. But the question is, have you thought about yung kanyang first arrival? Have you thought about Jesus, the Son of God, who came, had a nature of man and a nature of God, lived a life na hindi natin kayang gawin, perfect obedience, and died on the cross that we deserve. This Jesus who died for us had been buried and on the third day has risen from the grave, ay babalik. If ang ating hopes, if ang ating desires sa buhay are on the temporal things and pleasures of this world, magugunaw po lahat yan. And you will face the eternal judgment ng Panginoon when He comes. And that could be today. That could be any moment right now. Hanggang kailan mo ire-reject ang gospel ng Panginoon Jesucristo? Today is the day of salvation. So friends and brothers and sisters, I urge you, be on guard, for Jesus is coming very, very soon. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to die for our sins, giving us hope, promising us eternal joy and pleasures forevermore. We're thankful for Christ. Thankful that Jesus' predictions and promises ay natutuloy. At alam po namin matutuloy, lalong-lalo na pagbalik niya. Pinapanalangin ko po ang aking mga kaibigan na nandito na marahil wala pa hong pananampalataya o hindi nyo pa anak through Jesus Christ. I pray that you would save them, Lord. We pray as they heard the gospel preached, as they hear yung warnings ngayong umaga na ito, I pray that they would fix their eyes on the true Savior, true satisfier of their souls, which is Christ. I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here. Lord, help them not to be dormant. Tulungan niyo sila. Tulungan niyo po kami, Panginoon, to disciple people, to proclaim the gospel with urgency. Help us, Lord, to pour into one another as so that we would grow in faith in Jesus Christ. As we long for that day, Lord, as we be on guard sa pagbalik po ninyo. So ang prayer ko, Lord, para sa aming lahat, that we would live itong life namin in light of eternity for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.